May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sometimes Jesus gives us a break. This is one of those times. We have from Jesus today two parables about the kingdom of God. The first parable Jesus gives us might rightly be titled the most boring parable of all time. Maybe that's why this parable only appears in the Gospel of Mark. Perhaps the other gospel writers didn't find it spicy or exciting enough to include it in their version. In this parable, it all happens just exactly as we'd expect it. A man plants seeds, time passes, seeds sprout and grow. That's it. Really? That's it? What is Jesus actually trying to tell us with this parable? The whole thing, it just seems so ordinary. As ordinary, perhaps, as the mustard plant, an everyday weed that Jesus compares the kingdom to in his second parable. And it's also predictable. In fact, the Greek word that is used when the parable says the earth produces of itself is automate, like automatically. It just happens without the farmer fertilizing, without the farmer watering, without him singing to his little seedlings, without his fretting or worrying or praying. It happens automatically. The seed is sown, sprouts, grows automatically. The earth produces of itself. And though we today might have more of an idea than Jesus' ancient audience about how the earth produces, and though a farmer or a gardener can certainly do their best to facilitate the growth, really, the process from growing from seed to grain is no more in our hands today than it was back then. You can't force a seed to grow. Everything that that seed needs to become a plant is already contained inside of itself, ready to sprout and grow. So too it is with the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom of God will sprout and grow and take root automatically. That's what it's made for. That's what it does. Even without the input of a well-intentioned farmer, the kingdom of God is going to grow. It doesn't rely on our fertilizing, our watering, our praying. It doesn't even rely on our effort, our hard work. Whether the kingdom grows out in the world or in one person's heart, Jesus doesn't say, but it will grow. Gradually and automatically, it will grow perhaps so suddenly you don't even notice it until, at last, it produces its intended fruit. Sometimes, Jesus gives us a break. This is one of those times. Now, I know this is supposed to be good news. Jesus giving us a break and all. I know it should be reassurance, right? Reassurance that when we fail, or when we fall, or when we're just too tired, or even when we're gone from this world, that we can still trust that the kingdom of God is going to sprout and grow. I know that should be good news for us this morning, but truth be told, I like to do things, you know? I measure how good my day is by how much I got done. How many of you do that too? I see heads nodding. I know who you are. You go to bed at the end of the night and you mentally tick off everything you did or didn't get done, and then you feel either accomplished or disappointed in yourself. Frequently, when my husband Dan asks me how my day went, I respond by listing off everything I did or didn't accomplish. Doing things is how I feel accomplished, Jesus. checking things off of my list is how I know I'm doing okay. I measure my worthiness by what I have done. So, Jesus, I have to ask, what is our part here in this parable? What do we do? Are we the ones who plant and scatter the seeds? Or are we the ones who come in at harvest time? What do we do, Jesus? And I think the answer that Jesus is giving me, giving us this week, with his most boring parable of all time, I think the answer is sometimes nothing. Sometimes the answer is, Jesus has got this. He's good. He's been doing this long before we were here and will be doing it long after we're gone. Sometimes the answer is that even though we might measure our worthiness by what we accomplish, God doesn't. We could spend all our days being good for nothing and still be precious in the eyes of God. Sometimes the answer is, and on the seventh day God rested. Do you, O mortal, need less rest than Almighty and immortal God? Sometimes the answer is that the only thing for us to do is to sit in wonder and praise and thanks as the earth produces of itself, as the child grows into their own person, as the kingdom of God sprouts and grows somewhere new. We do not know how. This story about seeds and sowing and leaving things in the hands of God, it reminds me a bit of one American legend I heard an awful lot about when I was growing up, Johnny Appleseed. Have you heard of Johnny Appleseed? There was one person at 8 a.m. worship that hadn't heard of Johnny Appleseed. Well, I grew up in Johnny Appleseed country in western Ohio. So Johnny Appleseed is a big deal there. Nearby are even remnants of a few of the nurseries that he planted. I grew up not far from the Johnny Appleseed Museum or the Johnny Appleseed Memorial and Death Place. I think I must have learned about Johnny Appleseed in every single year of elementary school. Well, Johnny Appleseed, truly named John Chapman, was originally from Massachusetts. And Johnny Appleseed began planting apple trees in Pennsylvania and then traveled all the way through Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, even up into Ontario, doing the same. Now keep in mind, this was back in the late 17 and early 1800s. He traveled all this way by foot. Johnny Appleseed was a conservationist and had a deep love for all creatures, even including mosquitoes. He was known for his kindness and his storytelling. He relied upon the kindness of others as he was a nomad and had no home to call his own. He was known for his admiration of Native Americans and his dedication to the Swedenborgian Church. Johnny Appleseed often planted nurseries with young trees to be sold rather than orchards. And though he might return to certain nurseries to tend them a little bit, many other times, he planted the seeds and then was on his way. A nomad who lived a life of intentional poverty, Johnny Appleseed rarely returned to see what happened to the seeds he sowed. Rather, he trusted God to give the growth. And perhaps that's how we got the song, often sung as a table grace, that now bears Johnny Appleseed's name, the Johnny Appleseed Song. You might know this. Listen to it once, and then I'm going to have you sing it through with me. Oh, the Lord's been good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Let's sing it together. Oh, the Lord is good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need. The sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Beautiful. And I learned just this week, in fact, that there are more verses to this song. So let me sing the second verse for you. Just listen. And every seed I sow will grow into a tree, and one day there'll be apples there for everyone in the world to share. The Lord is good to me. An apple tree sown and left to make its apples. An apple tree growing and providing for all creatures, perhaps like that mustard shrub Jesus talks about, providing shade in its branches for the birds to nest in. And the third verse. When I wake up each day, I'm happy as can be, because I know that with God's care, the apple trees will still be there. The Lord is good to me. Sometimes Jesus gives us a break. This is one of those times. Sometimes all there is for us to do is to know that with God's care, the apple trees will still be there, and to give thanks to God. Amen, 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 amen.